and it's about transferring your skill. When I need to ask meta question, how do you organize your space so you can see all the possible meta questions?
Okay. How do I organize my space, like in my mind, you mean?
Yes, maybe you have some image with something, maybe you store them at some place. I did not find the right way to have at least three or four meta questions available.
I have a diagram. I have a diagram with a list of meta questions and a picture.
And you
form.
Visualize it when you ask me.
I look at it actually.
You
yeah.
Look at it. Okay.
I look at it, and as I look at it more and more, I know where things are. Like yesterday, subscribe to Chain Session yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I was doing the meta questions list. The meta questions. And so she said something about a feeling. So I looked over. Yeah, feelings one and imagine, you know, is there. So it helps me, by looking at this picture, it helps me remember. So as I do this, just like I did with the picture, I have a picture of the well-formed outcome. It's in my memory now. Because I created that picture. So this is the same thing. It helps to put things on a page, one page, and then with some in some structure, you know, and people have different structures. Things are positioned a certain way so that I know where to look. If it's a visual type of thing, if I have to think about the future, I look, you know, eyes to the left. So that's one way I do. And it's there's so many of them, so many you don't use as easily, like paradigms. But I have it out. I look. And then when someone says something, I think, you know, it's a way of learning too, because it's hard to, because she used four, I think she used four or five of them yesterday, only four or five types of meta questions. I'm trying to understand when you would use certain types of meta questions. For example, Femke was talking the other day about, you know, when you do acknowledgments, you have a summary of acknowledgments, then you might ask, well, what do you realize about this summary? That's the use of the realization one.
Right, yeah.
So I'm trying to make connections as to particular ones, when would they be more appropriate to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I'm going along that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Christian, I think that's really a good way to start practicing it, is just have a list and give yourself permission to have that list physically with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a great way to kind of get it into your muscle.
Mm-hmm.
What Pascal was saying at the end, I think that is really critical as well. Like knowing why you are asking a meta question. Where do you want to take someone? So if you think about the coaching, you know, the structure of coaching, like at some point, because you've got your score model, so you've got your present state and your desired state and the gap in between, and all the steps, the resources, like the steps and stages in between. There's a couple of how do you say that, intentions that you can have with the meta question. So for example, you can ask about the present state. You can ask, okay, so right now you feel stressed. That was the conversation yesterday when Birgitta had a new client and she was thinking or preparing for that new client, she would get stressed. So there's a trigger and there's an end result, which is her state, and then the behavior that she does. And there's something in between. So what holds that in place, what creates that stress, are beliefs or ideas in the back of her mind. So what we can then do is ask meta questions to figure out, okay, what is the relationship between this trigger and your stress? So we can ask meta questions for that. That's one intention that we can have with meta questions. On the other hand, we can do the same thing with the desired state. What resources would you need, or what beliefs would hold this in place, like feeling relaxed about your new client? So then you start to get that gap. Those are two intentions. If you know the intention, if you know where you're going to go, it's going to be a lot easier to ask your meta questions. Like, have a list with you and then know the intention. Because beyond that, what Pascal was saying, like, what do you now realize? So once, for example, I have the present and desired state and what holds those states in place, the beliefs and the thoughts, then I can go to motivation, because I know that for my client, they need to have like an away from, and they need to have a towards. So those are specific types of meta questions that I would ask. Like, what is going to make someone really want to go towards is the big enough why. So then you have the why question. On the other hand, you have the away from, what is this going to cost you if you do this for the next 5 years? What will you have? You know, so those are all questions mm-hmm. where someone needs to go in and up and reflect. Once you have that, you want to make a decision. So I would start, if you think about it in terms of present state, desired state, I want to know what holds that in place. I want to know the motivation towards and away from. I want them to have awareness so that they can make a decision. So that's an awareness questions about what to change. And then making the decision, those are also meta questions. So that's already five different areas. Mm-hmm. Let's say you ask two, three okay. questions for each of those areas. That gives you a lot of structure, and at the same time, you're already hitting level 2.5 of your meta questioning.
Okay. So, because in my mind, I was trying to scan all the meta questions to find the right one. In fact, you have some packets of three or four meta questions, maybe five,
mm-hmm.
At each step of the coaching.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Like, and I think that's the beautiful thing about it. If you chunk it like that, and then maybe have like just a few different meta questions to start out with. Because then you don't overwhelm yourself. You don't have to know all the meta questions. Just have a few. Like, I like, what do you believe about that? And what meaning have you given that? And there's many more that I can ask, but that's the basic meta questions that I ask when I want to kind of get someone's higher frames of their desired or present state. So then I have a specific type of question, like, what do you realize about that? What are you now aware of? To get enough awareness to make a decision of what to work on. So I play a little bit with that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that help you?
Yes. That gives me a strategy, because I was trying to scan all the meta questions, and that created more confusion in my head and I was not present with the person at that moment. Okay, that helps me a lot. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks. And thanks for your contribution, Pascal.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday I was hearing some of the meta questions, and she said, what are you feeling, without saying what are you feeling about. So would you say that wasn't grounded if she asked that question?
That is not even a meta question.
She said, okay, I have to get you the exact question. Let's see.
I'm pretty sure she asked, what do you feel about that? Or actually, I'm not sure.
No, she didn't. I can tell you exactly as soon as I open up my file. Recent coaching form. She said, what is that you are feeling?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was about performance. Would you say that was ungrounded? Because it wasn't. What is that you are feeling? Wouldn't it be better to say about the performance you mentioned, or something, or is it assumed that it's grounded?
No, that is just a VAK question. It's not even a meta question.
Not a meta question.
No, because she's asking about what she's feeling in the moment. So
not about what are you feeling about something.
Right, exactly.
So if she said, what are you feeling about performance, that would be a meta question.
Yeah, and it's not a very good meta question.
I look at the meta question list and it says, for feeling, it says, what do you feel about X?
Yeah, yeah.
As an example of a meta question. So what do you feel about so whether it's good or not, it's listed as one of the meta questions because it's about about your feeling or I don't know. I guess it's ambiguous.
Yeah, a lot of the time we don't want people to ask about what do you feel about that, because that's not where solutions are. It's like in the desired state, how do you now feel about that? That's great, but when you ask that about your present state, it's like an unuseful meta question.
Yeah, that's very good.
So that would make a big difference.
So you have a lot of rules like that. I'm trying to pick up as we go along.
Yes.
All these things that, you know, what do you do? What kinds of questions do you ask in the present state or the future state, and what doesn't make sense? But you're right, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's also, you know, Michael shares those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I guess I've just picked that up from being present at trainings. He just like throws those things in there.
Right. I'm just making note of them as I hear them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, any more questions?
Not for me.
So just one last, I think I've asked this one before, but I think all through our training, most of the training, and even some of these sessions, we never really get past an outcome.
Right, yeah.
And so if coaching begins past the outcome, then we're not really learning much about the coaching part.
Yeah, that's very true, very true.
So my thinking is we should make up an outcome, come in with outcomes, well-formed outcomes, and go for the coaching part. So how set up an exercise so that we can see what coaching is beyond the outcome. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had that question like once before, and I think that's a really good idea. Maybe what we could do next time is just do like an hour's worth of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then like like I can help out with the beginning, you know, to get the outcome and to get like the and
So let me ask about that. So this is what I think. You're listening to the person and getting their outcome. And you're listing as you go along some of the issues they might have, obstacles they might have to address, and just making note of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they have an outcome, but yet they don't have the means or the resources to get there. So the coaching part, so once you have that established with the problems and issues and resources, whatever it happened to be,
mm-hmm.
or maybe metaprogram needs,
yeah.
But they want something, although they don't have the path to get there. So the coaching is working on each of those pieces that
Yeah, basically.
Stretch the meta program, or or have some more skills they need to get, or something in order to get their account, or change the frame,
yeah.
whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if you get them to see what they really want, and mm-hmm. which is as well formed as possible, and then you start working on the list of things to make it real. And
right.
it might change, but at least you started somewhere.
Right.
That's how it seems to me.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that because, like, if you've gone through the well-formed outcome mm-hmm. all the way, then the coaching is really easy because you already have, like, all the steps. So first we need to brainstorm. And then once we've brainstormed and we've got the, like, a new frame, then we need to say no to the old frame and say yes to the new frame.
Right.
And embody that. And so because you've already mapped that out, yeah, it's the coaching is pretty, like, can be pretty straightforward. Doesn't mean that it's not challenging or that it's, but you know exactly what to do.
So the axis of change seems to overlay both places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So you'd be using that when get those well getting the you'd be using the first axes,
mm-hmm.
Motivation towards in a way probably as you're working toward the outcome to try to understand what's going on, and some of the other ones solidification is when you actually are coaching.
I think.
I mean, some of the axes
yeah.
seem more relevant for coaching than others. Is that true?
Well, in a way, the coaching, like your co-creation, coaching mm-hmm. is the co-creation mostly in solidification.
Mm-hmm.
But it may also be with smaller steps that someone loses because it gets tough and the heat is turned up. It's their motivation drops, and if you can sense that, then you need to just go back to. Just go back to that.
Okay, so we have four of these axes. So the coaching part is the co-creation. And the motivation and getting an informed decision.
That's before the coaching. That's your outcome part.
Right, that's your outcome.
Yeah.
So the first two axes are predominantly for the out, I know you can go back later, but I'm just saying they're primarily used during the coaching, the first two axes, and the second two are used during the coaching part, the actual beyond the well-formed outcome.
If you look at the well-formed outcome questions, mm-hmm. then part of it is motivation because you ask about the why and you ask
right.
the decision. But you also have what do you need to do to get there?
Right. Okay. The co-creation.
Yeah.
So what will you need?
What resources do you need? Also co-creation.
What resources? Yeah. So yeah. So that.
So,
okay. So okay. So you're touching upon.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not doing actually the solidification. Although if someone gets like an insight. That really shifts something or then you already want to celebrate that. Okay, this is the next step. You had that insight. We're going to work on that. Great. So it's so you can also do that. But the real like solidification is maybe like if someone comes back from a coaching and they've mm-hmm. practiced it.
Right.
And at the end where you actually – so ultimately you go at the end of your coaching, you – go back to your KPI and you test it.
Yeah.
And then you say what worked, what didn't work, what still needs to be added.
Right.
And so that's also part of the axis of change. So, yeah, in general, like the first three axes for you really like use when you go through the well-formed outcome. And mm-hmm. then afterwards, it's primarily the co-creation and then solidification.
There are only four axes, right?
Four axes, yeah.
So the first three are, and you said then you said the first three, then you talk about the last two.
And then the last two, yeah, because co-creation, you use both in both areas, yeah.
Okay, so if I can summarize, then the first three axes are used primarily in the getting the outcome, and the second two, and there's an overlap, are used. I use primarily, well, the one overlaps, but the last one is used primarily in the coaching part.
Yeah. Yep.
And I can see the first three. Yeah, there's an overlap. Second two, coaching, first three, outcome with an overlap. Okay. That makes more sense. I'm trying to position these things so I know. Because you can get very detailed when you talk about co-creating things. You can have a table where you look at pros and cons. Well, that's a decision table.
Yeah, that's a decision table. Yeah. But you get, you know, like when you're in the well-formed outcome, you're already analyzing basically, like, okay, what frames are in the way? What new frames do you need? And that's, I think, a lot of the time where people get they kind of assume, oh, now you have the new frame. Oh, that so right. Then, and your client may actually say that, oh, now I have the new frame. Good, I'm done.
Right.
And that needs to be tested.
Tested, yeah.
And that can even happen before you have the outcome, because they have this insight, and because of this insight, they now feel really different. But the thing is, can they actually replicate that feeling different when they are challenged? Because in the coaching session, they're not yet challenged. So that's that's where we want to kind of be really tenacious and do some mismatching, and not just believe what our client says, but really test it and say, okay, let's take the trigger, and I want you to really imagine that you're, you know, in a coaching conversation and your client starts raising their voice at you. Can you do that? So
now here's another question. The coaching form is used the first 25 minutes of coaching, and so I'm wondering, if you did not use it during the first 25 minutes of coaching, but use it during the second 25 minutes of coaching, if the form would actually be different, you know, because you may have gotten the well-formed outcome in the first half, but you still be asking questions, but not along, you know, you know what I mean? That it's like a different phase, and the form seems to be geared for the first phase.
Mostly, for most parts. But you still need to... at the same time, you still need to be listening and supporting and asking questions.
It'd be interesting to do the assessment for the first 25 minutes and redo it again for the second 25 minutes and see what the results are.
Absolutely. And then I think you would use maybe some different skills. I'd have to think about that, but you... like that's also where state induction becomes more important.
Right, right.
Exploration questions. You know, the higher level skills I think become also more important. Picking up on emotions and gestures, and you need to do that in the beginning as well, but. It'd be interesting to see what other skills are needed for coaching.
For example, some of the Graham Richardson ones, I've got it too, I haven't looked at it, but it would be interesting. I don't know how long it takes, but if it takes an hour, what would be, you know, assess for the first 25 minutes and assess for the second 20 minutes, see what the differences are.
Yeah, for sure.
Or start from scratch, and or any other ones that we have that go for, like the one with Sterling and Michael during the coaching training, what would it be if you did the first 25 and then the second 25? What would the differences be?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's that. Yeah, absolutely makes a difference.
These just pop up in my mind as I'm trying to understand how to do this.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting. Also, just like how does it relate to the axis of change? What is the because quite honestly, even in PCMC level, well, in PCMC level, you need to do an entire coaching session, but that part of what is it that you do after the well-formed outcome, and obviously you do any of the seven conversations, but what specifically do you do in those conversations? And that's where you really start using the skills that you've learned in the APG and in running, quote unquote, running the patterns in NLP. So you're really it's mostly your state induction skills, your exploration skills, challenging skills, so that someone really makes that change. So it'd be
And that brings up
interesting.
another point about the fact these conversations come up later. Even though they're you can allocate them, you can say, well, if you're doing this question in the well-formed outcome, you're having this type of conversation. But the full-blown conversation can come after the outcome is given. Maybe the person wants clarity about something or an experience.
So if that's the outcome, then you're going to have a clarity conversation. And then, but what do you do when you're having a clarity conversation? And Michael has written about that, of course, the kinds of patterns that you can think of, or what does it relate to, and all of that is going to be like a lot clearer once you've gone through the well-formed outcome. But I think a lot of people are really fuzzy on, like because if you can't see what conversation you might be having after the well-formed outcome in terms of coaching, it might actually be a lot harder to get the well-formed outcome because you don't have, you don't really have an experience of, oh, we could be doing this. Or I remember, was it like 2 years ago, I think, with Jason was coaching me, and I had uncovered like a very limiting belief. And so I was now able to step outside of my matrix on my own, but I didn't yet have a new empowering belief. And so I told him that was what I said. I said, I want to have a new empowering belief because I don't have that. And so that was a clarity conversation. But in his mind, what he was hearing was that it was that I want a change. Ultimately, yes, I want a change, but I didn't need help with that. And he kept like steering me in that direction because he didn't have like a visualization of what could a clarity question or what could a clarity conversation be like. So, if you, yeah, it's an interesting, almost like paradox or conundrum.
That's right.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, any other questions?
It was interesting to hear. Really. Really, really.
Do you have any questions about it, Christian? Any thoughts?
No. I have a lot of things to think about now.
Yes, definitely. That's what I try to shoot for.
Just a last question. In the last time, I was the coachee, and where can I find the file of a recording? I did not find it.
Let me see. Because
They're up there.
I'm pretty sure
I
I
downloaded them.
Okay, so it's on the
Okay,
site now.
so
Okay,
yeah, then you
maybe it
go
was
to
not when I checked. It wasn't
resources.
on the site a while ago. It was just this month it was put, Famke put it on the site.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because I created a draft, but I didn't re, how do you say that? Saved it or published it, so. But,
I'm listening to it also. I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, so.
These are good. These are really good to listen to afterward.
Yeah. Well, and like I'm going to think about what we can do. Maybe we can do an entire coaching session, and then I'll help with getting the outcome.
Okay.
And then I'll step back for the actual coaching part. That would be good. So that means that next time we're going to just do the time for the coaching.
Right.
Not really any questions. We're just going to, because it, like, it would be like 45 minutes to an hour of coaching. But that would be really valuable, so we can alternate with that, so we can actually practice that as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And then it would be good, once we've done that, is to go back and look at it and say, you know, what other coaching could be had been done, or what was the, you know, positive and negative aspects of it. In other words, how does it fit in the in a larger framework?
Yes, exactly.
If that makes any sense.
Exactly.
I'm always looking at the bigger picture to try to understand how everything fits in.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so any other things that you would like to discuss?
No, just now. But I will write you an email. I have some things about... that I would like to ask you, but I would like it to do it privately. So
okay.
I will write you an email.
Yeah, that sounds good. No problem. Okay, well, if there's no more questions, I don't think we really have time for a coaching session right now. So we'll do that next time. We'll do a long coaching session. And then we'll analyze that. So I'm going to put this recording up later today so that you have access to it as well. It's under, like, so Christian, when you log in, it's just under KACC recordings, and it's in your, it's in the sidebar. You should be able to find it there.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Were you going to do it or do a new axis of change piece?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. I'm going to do a new axis of change piece and the last two modules. I'm completely redoing those. I'm actually almost finished with the first to last module, which is on the strategy process. It's going to be a movie.
Okay.
So that's going to be up by the end of the week.
I think the last one I was on was the axis of change.
Axis of change, yeah.
That was the last one I was on.
Exactly. And
I'm
so
still on it.
Yeah, and I think you should have access to the next one already, but there's nothing there. I took all of that off because I that's just fine. Insight.
That's fine. I've got a job to do this week.
Right.
Next week.
Also, just so you know, because over the I'm going to update all of the modules over time. You'll have access, like even after the calls finish,
mm-hmm.
You will have continued access to the modules. So it keeps like updating and improving.
Okay.
And I'll let
you
know
good.
About that.
Continuous improvement.
What's that?
It's continuous improvement.
Continuous improvement, indeed. So... Yep. Okay. Well, we'll wrap up the call for now, and I'll let you know when I've got the strategy process, the next module online.
Okay.
And next week I'll work on the axis of change.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Right.
What's that?
In 2 weeks from now.
In 2 weeks from now we're going to be on the call again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the same time. So then we'll do the coaching session.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Pascal and
Thank you.
Christian. Have a
Thank
great
you.
rest of your week.